where they walked in the way of Cain and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are they who are spots in your love feast. When they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by wind, often trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea, foaming out their own shames, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever. We pray, Father, that you shall bless the word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before I tell you a little more of what is in verse 11, look at verse 12, because the differences in the King James and the other versions is noticeable, and I want to explain just what they are. It says in the King James, "These are they who are spot in your feast of charity." And a feast of charity is simply love feast. But now listen to this word. Stelos, stelos. Can you hear any difference? Stelos, stelos. Well, these are the two words. They're so close. To help you understand, one is spelled with an A, and the other one is spelled with an O. And the word can be translated spot, both of them, and the word can be translated rock, both of them. And so that is why the translators in the King James said, well, we think that it means spot, and the 1901 and others say, well, we think it means rock. It's still something that is not complementary. Here are these individuals who are at the love feast, and if they're there and they're spots and blemishes, that's bad. And if they're rocks, now it's not that they're standing firm like a rock, but they're like rocks against which the Christians can dump and have ships to crash into them and destroy their lives. That's what is meant if you translate it rocks. And then it says feeding themselves. Let me tell you a little bit about that word. The word is the word that our Savior used in John 21. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The word literally is shepherd. And so that is why they translated it here, not feed, but feed as a shepherd does his sheep. Now why? Because, if you have noticed, Jude puts things together in cryptic. Look at verse 11. Warned of them, they went in the way of Cain, run righteously in the error of Balaam, perishing the gainsaying of Korah. You see those three things? Now listen again. These are they who are spots in your love feast when they feast with you. Shepherds without fear, feeding themselves. Crowds without water. You say, yes, now there are three. Now another three. Autumn trees. Wild waves of the sea. Wandering stars. So here we have three times two. And if it has just feeding yourself, you miss the picture that he's put before of a shepherd that is taking care of himself. In the vernacular, we say he's taking care of number one. And that's what they were doing. I wanted to explain those things to you because so often when King James is read, or later version is read, people say, well, I wonder why those differences are there. This will help you to understand. But the difference is, unless they are of importance, changing doctrine, no great concern. If it's denying something of our Savior's person or his work, that's one thing. But when it says in an uncomplimentary way that a person is a blemish in the meeting, that a person is a rock in the meeting, you just have to ascertain, well, what bad thing is being spoken of here. And then if it says they feed themselves, or as a shepherd, they take care of themselves, just a little variation of thought. All right. Now, look back at the first triplet that we started on last prayer meeting night in verse 11. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. Now, this is a willful worship of God that will not conform to how God wants to be worshipped. You remember in John 11? You remember in John 4? You remember in John 6? You have the words of the Savior, and we have the Savior wanting to do certain things, such as take away the stone, and Martha said, Lord. Then, for the sake of time, in chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Goldsboro and the world is filled with people who are prepared to worship God, but they're not going to worship him in spirit, and they're not going to worship him in truth. They'll worship him according to error. They'll worship him according to their soul's desire. And that is why when you hear people say, let us all worship God the way that we see best. Worship the God that he serves, the way that he desires to worship God. That would be fine if the Lord gave us that privilege. Why not say to somebody, now, become a child of God the way you want to, because there is only one way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's to worship in God. It's not the way that we want to worship him. You have to worship him in spirit. That is something that is genuine and inward. You have to worship him in truth. That is the way that he set forth the ritual, the manner of worshiping him in an outward form. Cain is one who was not prepared to worship God that way. Understand that his exposure is in the act of worshiping God. In process of time, he came and offered God a gift. You say, beautiful. Someone that wants to get back to God who first gave to him. But God said, you are wrong, Cain, and the gift that you offer is wrong. He said, now if you do well, things can be rectified. But if not, sin is there to destroy you. And Cain refused to worship God's way. He would not do well. He would do either. And so understand this, that if you are worshiping God, you may be worshiping God the way that Cain did, which is a way that God said, it is not well, if thou doest well. But isn't all worshiping God doing well? No, because God says, if thou doest well, you shall be accepted. Your countenance will be lifted up. If thou doest not well, that means that if you continue to try to worship me the way you did, then sin will destroy you. And Cain was willing to be destroyed rather than change and worship God's way. And so remember this, all of our friends may be worshiping God in ignorance, such as Paul said when he was at Athens. He said, I see that you are most religious. He said, now, this God that you worship in ignorance, because I saw an idol to an unknown God, this God about whom you know nothing, I'm going to tell you about him. Now, when people are worshiping God, and their heart is tender and receptive to the word and the working of the Spirit, and someone comes and shows them a plain scripture telling them how God is to be worshiped, they say, I have been wrong in my worship of God. I'm going to change. But if you show them what God says, and they refuse to change, then understand that they are like unto Cain. Woe unto them. That is all that I have time to tell you about Cain. It says this. They ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. This is an interesting word. They ran riotously. It literally means that they were poured out in torrents, and so looked upon. What does it mean? It means that like a flood in the way of sin and error, that is the path that they took. They ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. I want to tell you a little bit about Balaam. Because if you read of him in Numbers 22 through 25, there are so many admirable things about him that I wish that God's servants today could have that same determination that was in the heart of Balaam in the chapters that we read about in 22 through 25. For this reason, he was tired of Balak to curse Israel. And he said, I will go and pray to God and see what he wants me to do. And God told him, do not do what he tells you to do. He went downstairs and said, I cannot go with you. My God will not allow it. Balak sent back again, and he said, I will fill your house with silver and gold. Come and curse. And Balaam said, I will speak to God again. And God gave him leave. I can't go into all these details, but understand this, that Balaam said, I cannot change, I cannot go beyond anything that my God tells me. I wish men could say that today. But he did go, even though God allowed it, but did not want him to go. May I put this to you, that there are many things that we might pray to God about, and God may say to us, go, but he does not want us to go. But he allows us to go. The same way that when Israel wanted a king, they wanted King Saul. God said, tell them no. And Samuel told them no. But they said, we still want a king. God said, give them a king. So many times, as it says in the Psalms, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. So when you pray to God, and you get permission from God to do something that you feel is wrong, but God told me I could. Remember King Saul and the trouble that befell the nation of Israel. Remember Balaam and what befell him because he would not listen to the will of God that he spoke to him at first. And what is behind it all? It said they ran riotously in the era of Balaam for hire. For a reward. And this I must tell you, how subtle some of those who will not go against God's will in specific areas will secretly go against God's will in another. Balak said, curse Israel. And when Balaam stood up, he blessed Israel. Every time he was to curse them, and God put a word in his mouth, and he blessed Israel. And Balak said, I would have promoted you, I would have enriched you. He said, now you're going to get nothing. And Balaam said, that is all right with me. I cannot do anything that God does not tell me to do. But now, turn to Numbers 25. I want you to see this. I want you to see that if there is a covetous heart in you, you will find a way to get around doing God's will. Even though God has told you what you are not to do, and you say, I'm determined to obey God, look in chapter 25, verse 1. And to understand it, the verse just before that in 24, and Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they called the people unto the sacrifice of their God. And the people did eat and bow down to their God. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the chiefs, and so forth. And the judgment of God falls, and thousands of Israelites are slain. You say, well, how was Balaam responsible for that? Turn over to chapter 31. Some things God does not immediately tell us in His Word, but later on He does. Later on. Look at verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian with the rest of their slain, Ephah and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, and five kings of Midian, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now, for the sake of time, you will read in Joshua, and you will read in the New Testament, just what brought all this about, Balaam's own destruction, and also the corruption of the children of Israel. And look at it in Revelation 2, please. Revelation 2, for the sake of time. And look at verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast some there that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. You'll find this also repeated in the Old Testament, and you find it repeated in the New Testament. Now think, he was unable with his own lips to curse Israel, but he wanted that money that Balak promised him. And so when he was alone with Balak, he said, I am not personally able to curse them, but do this. Have a feast to your false gods, and if the Israelites will enter in, they will destroy themselves. Do you remember that as a Christian? No one has power to curse you, but you have power to curse yourself. How? By someone putting into your thought an evil thing to do. And whereas he could not personally curse you, he can put it into your mind, a suggestion as to some evil thing that you are to do, and you go and do that evil thing, and then the very curse that he could not send upon you, you bring upon yourselves. And so remember that, that no one on earth has power to curse you. But there are those on earth who can deceive you, who can lead you into temptation and sin, and that curse that they could not pronounce upon you, you are able to bring upon yourself. And it all happened because of the subtlety of Balaam. So if a man speaks only the words of God, does only what God wants him to do, if God gives him permission, it may be God's second best. At the same time, in that man's heart may be covetousness, and he's prepared to destroy thousands of the true people of God for reward. So here is self-will in the way of Cain. I'll worship God the way I want to, and God himself is not going to get me to change. Remember that there are the rewards of the world, its pleasure, its financial reward, and even though we may not openly defy God to get them, there are subtle ways in which we can get them, the way that Balaam got those rewards. And this, now verse 11, just turn back the page, the Jew, verse 11, and woe also unto them, because they perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Understand about these eager ones of whom Jude speaks. I told you that they speak evil of dignities, and these dignities and these glories are angelic beings. You'll find that the hierarchy of heaven has certain degrees, such as Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, one of the seven present angels. It has principalities, powers, glory. These are various descriptions. And these evil ones will rail out at these spirit beings of heaven. But look at this. Korah was not gainsaying about heavenly authorities, but Korah was gainsaying about the earthly authorities that God himself put on earth. I just want you to see that. Turn to number 16 for a moment. Number 16. And I'll show you how all the trouble started. Number 16. Look at verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the congregation, called to the assembly, men of renown. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of the Lord. And that's all I wanted to read you from that, because in brief I will tell you what was wrong with it. There were 12 tribes, and of one tribe, the tribe of Levi, God said, this shall be the tribe that I set apart for the service of my tabernacle. And of one family of the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron, from them shall come the priesthood. So Levi, any Levite, had the service of the tabernacle. That Aaron and his descendants had the priesthood. This is the way God arranges himself in the Old Testament. You may not know, but Moses and Aaron and Korah were first cousins. Their fathers being brothers, Korah says, he is just as good as you are. Why are you exalting yourself above the assembly? But the point is that Moses and Aaron did not exalt themselves above the assembly. God did it. And putting this over among us today, since all of us are priests, we are royal, we are holy priesthood, and there is no distinction that way. But there are those whom God has given special gifts, and there are those whom God has given special qualifications, and today he would say this. If there are elders or deacons, as it says in the New Testament, obey them that have the rule over you. Now some might rise up and say, why, everybody in the congregation is as good as anybody else. And God has said, some have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. It says about esteem exceeding high in love's sake, those that are over you in the Lord. And so today, some would rail out and would be like Korah, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron, whom God put in that position over them. And they said, we want to be in that position. But God destroyed them. The king saying, of course. And today it might be the same way. I just bring that to your attention. So those are the errors to whom rules are announced. And they're invited in three distinct men. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Even though there were hundreds more, they are the ones that I've pointed out. That's all the time I'm going to take for those things. Go and read carefully the full account, and you'll see how God picks out an individual. And out of that individual, you see the sins involved in his life. The sin of false worship, the sin of greed, and also the sin of self-exaltation. All of these sins. All right. Now, verse 12. These are they, speaking about men like unto Cain and Balaam and Korah. These are they who are spots in your love feast, whom they feast with you. Now think of this for a moment. If they are charlatans, if they're vile, sinful men, the way that Jude has been describing them, why are they allowed full privileges and fellowship among the people of God? This is what Jude is saying. He is saying, you are to contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. And for that reason, if a sinner wants to come in and get saved, that's fine. If one is a child of God and he sins, he is to be disciplined. But what of an assembly that lets charlatans and vile, immoral individuals like these come in and feast with them at the love feast and have full participation in all the privileges of the saints who are in fellowship with God? Do you not see that something is wrong? You say, we do it in the name of love and tolerance. Paul says concerning those persons, put that wicked one away from among you. But in the early church, you'll find that in the book of Revelation, Jezebel, that woman who calls herself a prophet, you'll find that many things were tolerated in the church, but they were not supposed to be. And that is why you have to have a standard of holiness. And that is why when people come, you have to ascertain if they have been born again, if their lives are clean, if there is any impediment in their life, if there is anything wrong that would prevent their having the privileges of the Lord's Supper and also the other full privileges of fellowship. And if not, then God could be describing us, because these vile men are spots, their blemishes, while they are feasting with you at your love feast. Now something's wrong. To let these vile sinners in and sit down and fellowship and eat, can you not see that this is a violation of all that God stands for? And yet, that is what we were doing. And so there is something wrong with the assembly. Even the assembly is so imperfect and impure that they have not the heart and the strength to say anything against these other individuals, or else they are cowards, or else God shall remove their candlestick for the toleration of evil in their midst. Jude writes this epistle that we may contend once for all for the faith. And the faith is God said, I am holy, you shall be holy. And only certain things are tolerated. And that is why when strangers come in, I will speak to them personally. I will read God's word and tell them the restrictions that it gives. And that is what we are to do. Holiness becomes the house of God, and these things are to be maintained, because woe is a pronouncement concerning these individuals. And the sad thing is this, if we allow them in, it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and instead of woe unto them, it will be woe unto us as well. All right, look at some more of these things about them. Look at verse 12. There are hidden rocks in your love feast. While they feast with you, they are shepherds that without fear feed themselves, their clouds without water. Now, think of the description of these individuals. The word spot is most interesting, because in Ephesians 5, it says that the Lord Jesus is in the future, and he's trying right now to remove every spot and every blemish and every wrinkle from his bride. And yet here, when the children of God, the bride of Christ, are assembled together, we have spots in that feast, and that is what he does not want. But they are spots in the feast. And also, it says they are shepherds. Notice, they set them up as shepherds that are supposed to do things, as the Lord Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? Yes. Then he said, shepherd my sheep. And so they say that they're shepherds, but the only ones that they see are themselves. How strange. A shepherd who cares not for the sheep, The Lord Jesus in Ezekiel 34 and in John 10 tells us about such shepherds and also clouds without water. It speaks about mercy drops over the shower we please. And so here comes one that puts forth himself as a great cloud filled with water that can rain down blessings from heaven. Now, the truth and the facts are these, that they're clouds without water. And so they come pretending to be clouds that can give you showers of blessings, but they're clouds without water. They pretend to be shepherds, but they're only going to feed themselves, and they pretend to be God's children. But in reality, they're nothing but blots. And this is going on in the early church, and Jude is constrained to write them, to warn them about it, to alter it. And it's still going on today. So let us take part of these exhortations given us by Jude in these verses. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have told us what we should be. We are thankful that you show us when we are not what we should be. We pray, our God, that we should be willing to change, that we should be responsible for ourselves, but then at the same time, we should be responsible for one another. Our God, what kind of shepherd would he be that would allow a wolf to come and tear the sheep? So help us to take care of our own souls and help us to protect the family of God. As the Lord Jesus said, fear not, little flock. We pray, Father, that all the sheep here shall be kept from false shepherds, and they shall not be impressed by great clouds that have no water, and those that pretend to be holy, but in reality, they are blots. For our God, let us take these things to heart. Illumine us by thy Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.